So the award will go to Tengu Ma for his work with his colleagues Grange and Jason Lee. Thank you very much, you know, for giving this presentation today.
Thanks. I'm very honored and humbled to receive this award. I'd like to thank my wonderful collaborators, Rong Ge from Duke University and Jason Lee from USC. I'm Tongyi Ma from Princeton. So the general question that we're interested in is why does non-convex optimization work very well on training machine learning models? You know, so like a non-convex optimization through stochastic gradient descent is one of the main algorithmic techniques behind many of the breakthroughs in machine learning, computer vision, natural language processing, etc. And you know, a priori, non-convex optimization is NP-hard, and it's possible that the algorithm can converge to a very bad local minima. However, this doesn't seem to happen very often in practice. And one conjectural and unified theory that tries to explain this is that the non-convex object functions have very nice geometric property so that the optimization is tractable. One of such properties is that all local minima are global minima or approximate global minima. Here is a 2D example function where this property holds. You can see that there are four local minima and they are all global minima and there are no any other byte local minima. And the contribution of this paper is that we show this property holds for the straightforward non-convex training objective for matrix completion rigorously. This property plus some other mild regularity conditions that we can also establish implies that gradient descent with stochastic noise converges to a local minimum from arbitrary initialization in polynomial time. There are a lot of related works on understanding the landscape of non-convex training objectives in machine learning, and this is just a partial list. I don't expect you to read through this list. All I want to say about this slide is that this is promising, fascinating, and fast-growing direction of research where we make a lot of progress even in just in the past year. You see that there are a lot of papers published in 16, and actually, as far as I know, there are two other talks about this line of research in this conference. Of course, the very bigger question is to understand the non-convex optimization in deep learning. We don't seem to have the necessary mathematical tool yet, but I'd like to mention that we did make reasonable progress on understanding the linearized version of neural networks, residual networks, and recurrent networks. With Maurice Hart and Ben Racht, we are fortunate to contribute to this topic with two papers. Hopefully, some of you will be interested in checking them out. Okay, so these are the context. Now let's focus on matrix completion. So the setup is very simple. There's a low rank matrix M, and we only observe a random subset omega of the entries of M. And our goal is to recover all of the entries of M. So this is famous problems in machine learning that has been extensively studied in the past 10 years. The typical applications include recommender system and the collaborative filtering. The typical scenario is that we have a user item preference matrix, and each entry is the user's ice rating to the item J, and we only observe a random subset of this matrix, and we want to recover all of the entries so that we can recommend the right item to the right user. In this talk, we are going to focus on a symmetric version of this matrix completion problem. Now we know how to solve the asymmetric version, which is of course more interesting from the application point of view. But when the paper was written, we only knew how to solve the symmetric version. By symmetric version of this problem, I just mean that we assume the matrix M is of the form M is equals to Z times Z transpose. So this Z is a tall matrix of dimension D times R, And we should think of D as much, much larger than R. So that's why this matrix M is of low rank R. In addition, we assume that each entry is included into omega with power P independently. So we are going to do non-co-maximization. We have this variable X, which has the same shape as Z. So the ideal solution is that X is equal to Z. And our loss function is simply just the sum of the square loss over the observed entry. So XX transpose is the prediction that we make, and XX transpose IJ is just IJ's prediction, and we take the sum of the square loss over the observed entry. So before talking about how to analyze this objective function, let's have a brief summary of the previous works. There have been a lot of works on using convex relaxations or nuclear norm minimization to solve matrix completion. They have the optimal sample complexity, although the only drawback is that runtime is a little bit slow. That's why in practice, people prefer using non-co maximizations on the object functions we just defined. There are also a lot of works on using non-co maximizations. However, pretty much all of the works requires good initialization. And actually, Sun and Luo showed that the initialization is sufficiently good so that the function is actually convex around a neighborhood that contains the initialization. That's why, in retrospect, these works are not super surprising because they're analyzing algorithm for convex function. The exception is that the SA or log term Ray gave an algorithm with random initialization. However, they require fresh samples at every iteration, and that's why it doesn't give exact recovery of the matrix. We are going to analyze the non-co-maximization objective. And recall, this is our objective. And our main theorem says that under usual assumption, with high probability over the choice of omega, all local minima are global minima. And they all recover the matrix M. So this property, in addition with some other mild condition that we can also establish, implies that the gradient descent with stochastic noise finds a global minimum with arbitrary initialization in polynomial time. So here, by usual assumption, I mean M is incoherent and well-conditioned. I'm not going to define this exactly for you because they are not quite relevant for the rest of the talk. So so basically, this two implies that there's a ground truth matrix Z. The new row norm of this matrix is not too much larger than the average row norm. So basically, the intuition is that this kind of condition want to rule out the bad problematic cases where, you know, this matrix M has only, for example, one non-zero entry, and all of the other entries are zero. And in this case, it's very hard to recover the matrix M. The sample complexity, the expected number of observed entries that we require is D times R to the 6. We get a right dependency on the dimension D, and the dependency on dimension on the rank R is not optimal. The optimal one is D times R. Although we think D is much, much higher than R, that's why we think to get the right dependency on D is the first priority. Also, I'm trying to sweep some other technicality under the rug. So one of them is that technically, we are going to use a regularized version of this objective function. This regularizer tries to penalize the non-incoherent matrix X, and it doesn't affect the incoherent matrix. So basically, that means that it doesn't affect the global minimum Z. But this is basically a technicality and that I want to skip for this talk. Moreover, let me just mention that this function is not convex, and there's a way, easy way to see it because there exist critical points, stationary points, with vanishing gradient that are not global minima. And one of them is just the X is zero, and there are many others. So this is our main theorem. Now let's move on to the key observation that guides our analysis, which is geometrical properties are preserved by random sampling. So we have this partial observation objective, right? This is a sum over the observed entry. We can consider the case when we observe all of the entry. So for the problem itself, this is not interesting because, you know, you observe all of the entry and you want to recover all of the entry, job done. However, for the optimization problem, this is still interesting things happening there. We can define this full observation objective, which is the sum over all of the entries. And in fact, what we are going to say is that these two objective functions have very similar geometric properties. So for example, one such property is that any global minimum, x, satisfies x as transpose is equal to m. This is pretty clear from the left-hand side, because you can see that only way to make this objective function zero is to make x as transpose equals to m. And when the objective function is zero, that's clearly a global minimum. It turns out this property is also preserved by random sampling. The partial observation objective has the same property. And this is sufficient for solving the problem in expanded time, because you can just do some exhaustive search on the right objective on the right-hand side. However, we are interested in efficient algorithms. So that's why we need the stronger properties to be preserved by random sampling. And the property is exactly what we want to prove: all local minima are global minima. And if this is preserved, then this implies computational efficiency. So before showing how to link these two objective functions, let's just have a small plot that just builds some visual intuition. So it's very hard to visualize an objective function in high dimension. But what we're going to do is that we restrict our attention to a two-dimensional subspace. So here is the rank 1-2 case, and V is chosen to contain four global minimum. And you can see that these two objective functions are indeed very similar. And the only difference is just sounds like just one of them has this little cap. You can see, and the other one, the cap is hidden inside. Right. So next, let's move on to the analysis idea. Linearize the property. So the idea started with this kind of trivial observation that linear properties are naturally preserved by random sampling. By this, I mean that we have, suppose we have some matrix W, and we consider this partial sum over the observed entry, the sum of Wij over the observed entries. This partial sum should be close to the real sum, the full sum, up to some scaling factor P, which is the sampling probability. This is just by law of large number. And another observation is that most of the reasonable combinations of these linear properties are still preserved. So this leads us to the high-level plan that we want to establish the desired geometric property by combining many linear properties. So this is like building a rocket. You have this rocket named all local minima, a global minima. And we want to make every part a linear property. So it sounds like linear properties is not very powerful, because the only thing you can say is the sum over observed entry. But in fact, actually, we can say a lot of things using linear property. So here are some useful gadgets. So first of all, this function f is a sum of laws over the observed entry. That's why we can written it as abstractly as a sum of some, tij of x over the observed entry. And this observation leads us to the following facts: but linear forms over the gradient and also quadratic form over the Hessian, both of these are linear properties. To see this, this is just nothing really beyond the linearity of the gradient operator. So to see this, we can consider, for example, take the inner product of the matrix V with the gradient. And because the function f is a sum, we can put this sum also in front of the gradient, and also put a sum again in front of the inner product, and we get the sum is equals to the sum of over the observed entries of the inner product of V with the gradient of the loss function on each entry. So, and we can abstractly write it as a sum of Wij over the observed entry. And we can also do the same thing for the Hessian. Again, exactly the same thing. We just pull out the partial sum, the sum of the observed entry in front of the gradient and inner product, and we can rewrite the quadratic form of the Hessian as a sum of some other Wij prime of x over the observed entry. So basically, the final analysis is like we use these three gadgets to build our rocket, our local minima, our global minima. So the conclusion, so matrix completion has low local spirits, local minima. This is what we proved. And the main proof technique is that we establish geometric properties by a combination of linear properties. And the same proof technique can be extended to asymmetric case. And also we believe that the same technique can be applied to many other problems with partial and noisy observation. So I'd like to end with some open questions. The most obvious one is that whether we can improve the optimal sample complexity. We had d times r to the 6, and we believe that it should be improvable by 2d times r or d times r squared. Another fascinating question is whether we can have a faster runtime bound. So we only have a polynomial time bound, but maybe we can improve it to some, you know, smaller polynomial. The intriguing question that we can ask here is that is runtime also a property preserved by random sampling? Actually, I ran some experiment, and they showed that, and it seems that this property is true for gradient descent. And if this is indeed preserved, the runtime is indeed preserved by random sampling for other algorithms, then potentially we can also use this to design fast algorithm for matrix completion, because the only thing you need to do is to design a fast algorithm for full observation case, which is basically SVD, and then the algorithm will automatically work for matrix completion. And we can also ask nonlinear versions of matrix completion, like one-bit matrix completion or weighted SVD. I'm particularly interested in weighted SVD because it can be used to train word embeddings in natural language processing. And finally, of course, we can ask whether we can analyze optimization landscapes of other machine learning problems, especially on those in deep learning. I think I'd like to stop here. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Would you like to come to the microphones for questions? So I have a first question. What were the main technical difficulties to go from the symmetric problem to the asymmetric problem, and have you overcome them?
The main difficulty, there are not so many difficulties as far as I can tell. So one of the things is we use the PSDness of the matrix in some way, because the PSD somehow sometimes you can talk about some inequality because the correct form of the matrix is non-negative, and this needs to be addressed in some other way. You know, that's pretty much the only thing we need to do. So basically, this is like a moving from eigenvector to singular vector. So yeah, there are not so many technical difficulties.
Other questions? Well, if there are no other questions, we'd like to thank very much the speaker again and go to the pause.